Thank you, Jesus. All right. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And we're going to talk about how shall I bring the ark of God home? What in the world does that mean, Brother Roger? Well, we'll see. This is a story of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning of verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of the thousands and hundreds and with every leader. Now, David was a man of God, and he was a man of prayer, and he was a man of faith. But just like all of us, sometimes we get our priorities wrong. Our priorities are wrong because we sometimes consult man before we consult God. Amen? And, you know, what happens usually when I consult man before I consult God, I'm usually in trouble. Long before the trouble comes, I've pretty much set the standard, because sometimes what seems right to me isn't always right to God. Now, how many of you guys have ever had a traveling salesman knock on your door? You know what? By the time he leaves, you have bought yourself $3,000 worth of encyclopedias. And he wants you to make a decision today. He doesn't want you to pray about it, because he knows if you pray about it, God will say, you don't need to spend $3,000 on encyclopedias. Incidentally, I gave that $3,000 set to my oldest son. Who could have imagined back when he was a child that we would have the internet? I mean, we couldn't even fathom that we would have a computer connect to a World Wide Web where all of this volumes of material that I paid $3,000 for would be obsolete and I could get any of it with a click of a mouse. I couldn't fathom that when he was a child. But now he's 30, and I said, hey, do you want these old encyclopedias I paid $3,000 for? And he said, oh, yeah, Dad, I love those things. Okay, take them. David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader, but he did not consult with God. And David said to all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good to you, and that it be of the Lord our God. Now notice, he's got the spiritual spin in there. And if it's of God, doesn't say he consulted God, just said if it's of God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now, if you remember, Saul was the first king, and he was not a man. I mean, David was much more of a man of prayer and faith than Saul was. Saul, you talk about not praying. Saul just was, I did it my way kind of guy. You know that. And we see where that leads us. And so what happened was that Saul thought it was good to go ahead and send the Ark of the Covenant into battle against the Philistines, and God wasn't with him. And if you remember the story, the Ark was captured by the Philistines, and they put it before their god Dagon. And they would get up the next morning, and the idol of Dagon would be on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. And they would set it back up, and the next morning it was on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. And they would set it back up, and the third morning its arms and legs were broken off, and there was just the torso of Dagon. And then if that wasn't enough, they all started breaking out with tumors and cancerous growths all over their bodies. And they said, we think we ought to get rid of this thing from the Israelites, this ark of theirs. And so they put it on a cart and they sent it off, and pulled by cattle, and it ended up back in Israel, and there it stayed. And all the congregation in our text, the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to bring the ark of God home. You know, the ark of God represents the resting place for the Spirit of God, and who does not want the Spirit of God in your life? I mean, we need the Spirit of God in our life. And as we look forward into a new year of 2015, we all want 2015 to be the year that God is supernaturally in our life, greater than last year. Amen. We want to bring the ark of God home. Amen. And so there's nothing wrong with wanting that. The question is, how do I go about doing it? So David gathered all of Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even to the entering of Hermath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjathjearim. I had to practice that one. And David went up and all of Israel to Bala, that is in Kirjathjearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the ark of God the Lord, that dwells between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Now remember, the winged cherubims are on the ark of God, on the lid, the mercy seat, and that Shekinah glory of God rests between the tips of these two. And so we're bringing God back to our lives. Amen. That's a great thing. We need to bring God back to our lives. And maybe this 2014 you were really close to God, and maybe you're not as close as you wanted to be by the end of the year, but isn't it time to bring God back into our lives this year? Amen. And so that was their plan. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Now the reason it's a new cart is because the old one is probably all wore out. It's probably been sitting out in the elements. This fellow by the name of Abinadab, he's the one who the ark went to his house when it left the Philistines. And it stayed there. And God blessed Abinadab because it was at his house. And so it's been there all these years, and so they put it on a new cart to bring it back. And David and all of Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psaltery, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Now, I'm going to step on some toes this morning, some sacred cows. Many of us have Pentecostal roots, and I love to sing and shout and dance and hoop and holler. And David was doing that, but it still wasn't good enough, was it? Because he wasn't bringing the ark of God home in the prescribed order. Amen? And so you can have a Pentecostal party, and you can have a Holy Ghost goosebumps, but unless you're doing it God's way, it may not be in it. Amen? God may not be in it. And so David and everybody is having a great time. And when they come to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Now, we understand, if you study the scriptures at all, it was the Levites that were supposed to carry the ark. And there was little rings, golden rings, on the chest that you put these rods through, on each side, and they would carry it with their hands, one in front, one in back, and that was the way the ark was supposed to be transported, not on a cart. Even a new cart wasn't the way, was it? And David did not do that. David did not follow the prescribed order, and because of it, someone died. Amen? You know, sometimes the Lord reminds me that if I don't follow the prescribed order, someone may die. And you know, in your Christian circles, your witness could determine the destiny of other people. There must be a prescribed order. There must be a way the Bible says to do it, that we do it the Bible way. Amen? The way of the Word of God. The way of the Scriptures. And because the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he touched the ark. He's not a Levite. You can't do that. It's wrong. Now, here is the interesting part of the story. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Now, have you ever been mad at God? If you haven't, you probably haven't been a Christian very long. Because sometimes God doesn't make any sense. You know, when my first wife left me in 26 and died in 27 after 25 years of marriage, the Lord finally showed me something. He gave me a vision of a vase, a beautiful vase. And then a vision of someone picking up that vase and just smashing it to a million pieces. That was kind of the way my life felt back then. I know some of you can relate. And then God putting the pieces back together to the point that the vase is prettier or more beautiful than it was before. Now, I'm here to tell you, the broken vase chapter is not a fun chapter in a person's life. But God doesn't always do things the way you think he's going to do them. Life is not always the way you would write the story. But we keep reading it because we know Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen? And I know that at the end of the book, we win. And so I have to keep turning the pages, even through the painful chapters of my life. And sometimes through those painful chapters, I might even get a little mad at God. And I might say, God, this is not fair. I remember being a little cynical. I would hear a preacher on TV and say, preach it, brother. I was there once. You know, it's hard not to get bitter. Sometimes it's hard to not get mad at God. And David is not only displeased, he's afraid of God. Now, God does not want us to be afraid of him. And God never would do anything to make you afraid of him. Notice, this is not God's doing. This is David's doing. God had a prescribed order, and David refused to follow it. And so because of it, David was afraid of God. Afraid of God. We hear a lot of things about David. David, the sweet singer of Israel. David, the man after God's own heart. But we seldom think about the day when David was afraid of God. This David who wrote the 23rd Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd," the day David was afraid of God. The chapter in his life where David was afraid of God. Where David didn't know what to do. David didn't understand. God did not make sense. And now his aspiration to bring God closer to his life has now been changed to the point where God is being held at arm's length because now I'm afraid of God. The very God I wanted to bring closer, I'm afraid of him because of what's going on in my life. And he asked this question, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? How can I do this? I tried to do it and it didn't work. How many of you ever tried to do something glorious for God and it just blew up? You know? I have a theory. It's called the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, and the rebirth of a vision. It's kind of the whole broken vase in another form. You see, God will give you a vision and then you will try to do it, but you'll do it in your own strength and then it will die. And you will go, but I knew God wanted me to do this. And then it will be reborn God's way. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, God's way. God's way. God's prescribed way. You know, isn't it something how hard-headed we are that even though we know that God has a way, that we tend to do it our way? That we tend to not stop and inquire of the Lord. We tend to not try to do it God's way the first time. And when it blows up, we go, you know, I got a feeling I should have done it God's way. How shall I, yeah, me and you both, brother. How shall I bring the ark of God? And so this question now is a rhetorical question because we know. You and I know the answer, David. Get the Levites. Don't use a cart. But you know, that can represent many things in our life. One of the things I've noticed over the years, sometimes in my own life as well as others I see, there's three types of Christians. There's the people who read their Bible and pray, and they have joy. And then there's the people who pray but don't read their Bible, and they're real fanatical, but they have no solid base. And then there's the people who read their Bible but seldom pray, and then they become critical and judgmental. And so God wants us to do it all, amen, to get it all together. And there's a prescribed way. And, you know, sometimes I think, Lord, you know, how many times can a pastor say, read your Bible and pray? But you know what? I'm going to keep saying it because it's the prescribed way. And I'm not talking about, you know, I got this little devotion that has a verse in it I read once a day. I'm talking about, you know, if you had to survive on the amount of food you eat spiritually, physically, we'd all be starving to death sometimes. We'd be malnutrition. The church is malnutrition because they don't spend time in the Word. All right, there's my soapbox. So David brought the Ark of God home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he did. Now, here is the promise. If I can get the presence of God in my house is going to be blessed. If I can get the presence of God in my house is going to be blessed. Blessings. You know what blessings look like? Checks in the mail. Not a broken down car. Everything keeps working. Did you know my new car uses nitrogen in the tires? They got all these sensors on it now. You know, these new cars. Gives you how much tire pressure you got. And if the pressure's low, a little alarm goes off on your car. So I was getting my oil changed yesterday. I don't know. The days all run together. Christmas Eve day, I think it was. The guy said, you got those little green things on your valve stem. They got nitrogen in there, not air. He said it doesn't change with temperature. So that you do that on the newer cars with these sensors. So you got to go down here to Clyde's and pay $5 for them to put nitrogen in your tires. $5. He's the only guy in town that puts nitrogen in the tires. He probably charged $20. So you know all about that. So, why did I say that anyway? Blessings, yeah. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless our going in, our coming out. That's what he said. You know, and I don't know if you've ever had blessings overtake you. There's been times in my life where I've had one of those bam, 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 bam things, you know. And you know it's God. You know it's God. It can't be anything but God. After the resurrection, Jesus is on the seashore. Remember the story. It's where we get the old gospel hymn, Come and Dine, right? And the apostles are out fishing. They've been fishing all night. And Jesus hollers at them, you know, throw your net over on the other side. And they get all these fish. And as soon as they see this tremendous miracle of the fish, Peter looks at John and says, or maybe it's John to Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Sometimes people say, you know, wow, you're so blessed. I say, no, it's the Lord. And if you want to experience the kind of blessings that fill your boat to overflowing, then you've got to follow the prescribed order. Amen. And so the Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his house. The Lord blessed his house. So the question now, how shall I bring the Ark of God home? Now in chapter 14, we're following through this story. Chapter 14 is the story of David's victory over the Philistines. There's a little parenthetical story here of David's battle with the Philistines before we get back to the whole ark. You know, the ark's there for 3 months. David's having battles with the Philistines, and he's having victory over the Philistines. You know, just because I don't do everything right doesn't mean that God won't give me victory. God doesn't just write you off for one mistake. Aren't you glad? Amen. And so David has these battles in chapter 14, and then we get to chapter 15, and David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. You know, the first thing to bringing the presence of God back into your life is to prepare a place. You know, you don't just do it by accident. It takes preparation. If you're a morning person, the preparation is changing the alarm an hour earlier to seek the Lord. It's preparation. If you're not a morning person, it's turning off the TV an hour sooner before you go to bed and finding a quiet place to seek the Lord. It takes preparation. None of this is going to happen on its own. It won't happen on its own. You know, the Bible says, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. And if you're going to experience the blessings of the presence of God in your life in 2015, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to make some preparation. You're going to have to think things through. You're going to have to say, I think I'm going to change some things in my life. I think I'm going to prepare my life to seek the Lord. I'm going to make time for God in my life. You know, we all get the same 24 hours a day. When we stand before the Lord, we can't say, well, Lord, but I was a pastor and I was working full-time job and I didn't have much time. God said, I gave you the same amount of time as anybody. You need to prepare time to meet the Lord. And David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And David said, none ought to carry the ark. Look at there, he's learning. You know, I may make mistakes, but, you know, shame on me if I don't learn from my mistakes. Amen? David is learning from his mistake. He got back in the book. He sought the Lord. He began to look at how it's supposed to be done. And now the man who is there, what everyone's looking at, has an answer for the problem. He's no longer mad at God. He's recognized, I did this. I brought this on myself. I failed to follow the prescribed order of God. None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all of Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Israel, the children of Aaron and of the Levites, and he said, verse 12, unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. Now, if setting aside time is my preparation, the Levites represent worship. Amen? The Levites also represented worship. So I prepare a place. Then I enter into worship, right? And then the Spirit of God begins to move in my life. Hallelujah. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after, everybody say it with me, the due order. Amen? The due order, the order of things. God is a God of order. You know, the example of the Lord's Prayer, there is a due order in there. The first thing is, hallowed be thy name, worship. There is a due order. There is about forgiveness. There is about, you know, forgiving others as you forgive me. There is a due order of things. And if we will follow the due order, God will bring his blessing upon our life. Praise God. So God brought a breach upon us, David said. The second thing he said is, the breach came because we sought him not. Amen? We sought him not. And then the third thing is, after his due order. You know what? Like I said, this is kind of a step on the toes thing. I had a couple that used to come to church here. And one day he and his wife wanted to talk with me, and Carolyn and I were in the office. And they were good people. They loved the Lord. And they gave in the offering. I don't really monitor who gives. We key it in a database, so I do see it, but I don't sit down and think about who's giving it, who's not. And I to tell you the truth, I thought they tithed, but apparently she wanted to tithe, but he didn't. He didn't think that you were supposed to tithe. I will give, and if you have a need, I'll give more. But I don't feel like I need to give a tenth of my income. I'm like, well, and he was actually asking me to somehow, you know, condone his behavior. And I said, well, you know, that's between you and the Lord, but if you think I'm going to condone it, you know, the Bible says that if you don't give a tenth, you're robbing God. Have I ever not tithed? Yes, there was a time in my life where I had got myself so far in debt that I couldn't. Is God going to like write me off? No. You know, what I like to tell people that can't afford to tithe is, well, then give something consistently. You know, God will bless faithfulness. If all you can give is $5, give $5 every paycheck or whatever. And then when God begins to bless you, give 10. And then when God begins to bless you, you know, until you can give 10%. That's what the Bible says. Nola Jean and I, when we were at Faith Fellowship years ago, there was another lady, I'll leave nameless, that helped us with worship. And her mother-in-law was a 90-year-old saint of a woman. And she started coming with her husband. Her son would bring her. And we would let her speak. And she was a saint. She loved the Lord. Found out that she didn't believe in tithing. And you know what? I could not at the time find a verse. She wanted, well, show me a verse in the New Testament where it says tithe. I found it afterwards. And sometimes I think that's the way God wants you to do. You know, because if you want to, I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't want to do that, that's between you and God. But Jesus told the Pharisees, you tithe on your mint and cumin, but neglect the weightier, as you should, but neglect the weightier things like mercy. That as you should is New Testament, isn't it? And I'm not here I really don't care whether you give or not. I'm talking about following the prescribed order. I'm talking about doing everything that as a Christian I know God expects me to do so that God can bless me. You know, forgiving people, giving, church attendance, reading your Bible consistently, praying consistently, all of these things are the prescribed order of a born-again believer. And if you want God's blessing in 2015, silent. Silent pause. That's called the psychological pause. Salesmen do it. What am I doing with salesmen today? Salesmen do it, you know. They say something and they pause, and that makes you feel real awkward. Little salesman, I tell you. $3,000. Did I mention $3,000? Yeah, I did. We sought him not. I don't just seek God reading my Bible. I seek God by obeying his prescribed order. I seek him in every area of my life. I seek him in the good times and in the bad times. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Children, it's time to seek the Lord. We're entering the year 2015. It could be the last year. It's time the virgins, the sleeping virgins, trim their wick and fill their lamp with oil. It's time to seek the Lord after due order. Verse 26, and it came to pass when God had helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and David with clothes with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaiah, the master of the songs with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen, and all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sounds of cornets, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, and making noise, with psaltery, and with harp. Now, remember, this is the second time they've done this. You know, you can go to churches that will be singing and jumping and shouting and praising God, and people are falling over, and they're having messages in tongues and interpretation in tongues. And the weird thing is, they can both look the same. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about the story of Ananias and Sapphira from the book of Acts. If you're not familiar with that story, the Holy Spirit was really moving during those days. And people were selling the property and bringing the money and putting it at the apostles' feet so they could feed the homeless, right, or take care of them. And this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, they went and sold their property, but then they came in and they lied. And they said, we sold it for this amount, and they wanted to keep some back, but they still wanted to look spiritual. You know, you can look spiritual and not be spiritual. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know the story. The old man dropped over dead. And so they took him out to bury him because he lied. And Peter said, you know, how is it that you thought that you can lie to the Holy Ghost, right, the Holy Spirit? You can lie to the Holy Spirit. And his wife comes in, and Peter asks her, sets her up, gives her a chance, you know, to either lie or tell the truth. And she too lies, and he says, hey, the guys that just buried your husband are just coming back. They're going to be carrying you off. Bam, she drops dead. And I love the verse in that chapter. It says, and great fear came upon the church. You see, the church doesn't need another Holy Ghost movement. What we need is a movement of holiness, which is brought about by the Spirit of God. Not Holy Spirit, Spirit of holiness. A genuine fear of the Lord. And when we do, it may look like what the other churches are doing. The difference is, it will be genuine. It will be Spirit-breathed. And so here, they're singing like they sung before. They're dancing like they danced before. But today, something is different, for they have followed the prescribed order of God. Praise God. The first time David sought to bring the ark home, God wasn't in it. When Jonah sought to go to Tarshish, God wasn't in it, but he still went. God wasn't in Jonah's rebellious flee to Tarshish, but he made it to the docks, even though God wasn't in it. He bought the ticket even though God wasn't in it. He got on the boat even though God wasn't in it. He got down in the galleys and got a good night's sleep even though God wasn't in it till God stopped it. The point is that God will let you go on and on and on not following the prescribed order of God. There will be a day when God stops it. Don't wait. Today's the day to change it. Elijah saw the whirlwind, but God wasn't in it. He saw the earthquakes, but God wasn't in it. He saw the fire, but God wasn't in that. He was in a still, small voice. There is a still, small voice speaking to us today. 2015 needs to be different. 2015 must be different. How can I bring the Ark of God home? So what did all these have in common besides God not being in it? God allowed it. And God will allow you to hear this sermon and go home and keep living your week the way you lived it 2014. God will allow. But will you change? Will you decide today it's time to seek the Lord? So how shall I bring the Ark of God home? Come on up, Nola. The first thing I need to do is begin to pray. Not ask other people what they're doing, but just begin to pray and seek the Lord. What do I need to change in my life, Lord? Am I really experiencing the fullness of God? Do I need to reprioritize some things? Just the first thing is just begin to pray and ask the Lord to take inventory of your life. To take inventory of your life. You know, I heard someone say one time, you can do a lot of good things, but there's always something you can do better. And I would never change best for good. I want the best, don't you? And so the first thing we need to do is just take a minute and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, take an inventory of my life, what 2014 has been like, where my priorities have been. And I give you permission to take your pen and line out or reduce some of those activities. I give you permission to bump some things up on the list of priorities and permission to bump some things down. Maybe it's people. The Bible says we're not to love the creature more than the creator. Maybe you're a social person. Maybe you're a researcher. Maybe you're one of those people who likes to do things, have fun, hobbies. Whatever it is, isn't it time that we pray, God, reprioritize my life? Pray about it. The second thing we need to do is see what God's Word says about it. Maybe you're not experiencing the blessings of God because you're not following the prescribed order. Maybe you need to get in the book. Maybe you need to find everything that God says you're supposed to be doing and do it. Maybe your problem is that you've been disobedient. Maybe out of ignorance, you have not followed the prescribed order of God. The next thing we need to do is make preparations according to God's Word. If I need to spend an hour in the Word a day, then Lord, I need to prepare. I need to make time for you. I need to make preparations for the Word and for prayer. And then the last thing, move when it's God's timing and not before. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get behind God. Just be right there when God says go, go. Whatever He says to do, do it. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, this morning as we begin to close, You've certainly challenged us, myself included, that in 2015, I want to bring the Ark of God home. Whether other people do or not, Lord, I want to bring the Ark of God to my home in a greater way. I want God's power, God's presence, God's purpose, God's provision. I want it all, Lord. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I want 2015 to be a greater year for the presence of God in my life and the life of my family. And as the spiritual priest, Lord, the buck stops here. I know You are looking at me. You're looking at me. And so, Lord, if You look to me, then how much more do You look to each person for their home? To begin to say, as I have said, the buck stops here. Got to be some changes. Got to be some changes in my life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask for show of hands. It's really between you and the Lord. But I would like to pray a prayer of dedication. And if you feel, as I feel, that there could be a greater presence of God in your life in 2015, then I just encourage you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Dear God in heaven, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I rededicate my life to You today. I rededicate my time, my Bible reading, my giving, my obedience, my life. I lay it on the altar, and with Your help, by Your grace, I will make preparations to seek Your face, to study Your Word, to walk in obedience from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. If you prayed that prayer, you really are moved to do something for God this year, then be open and let God use you as you seek Him with all your heart. Amen. Give someone a big hug before you go.